This is Earth Tribe Radio, www.earthtriberadio.com. Hey, Joe.
Hi, Fiona.
I don't remember where this came from, but I thought it was really interesting. Someone said, forget about answers to find what we're looking for. Don't look for the answers. Ask questions. Because brainstorming with questions makes it easier to go into uncharted territory.
Ain't that the truth? Now, that is exciting. This, I love that, because here again, we have the whole process of, by asking questions, we're opening up. Yes. We're on an adventure. We're on a journey that we're going to learn so much from just by asking questions and exploring, rather than being the tunnel vision to find a solution. That often isn't the solution, you know?
And it's interesting because Jill's son, Luke, has been traveling to Egypt and other places.
Oh, all over the world.
To ask questions. The wonderful thing about his is, what's his website again?
Oh, it's Enigmas of the Ancient World.
Dot world.
Yeah,
and the thing with his tours and things that he does is that he asks questions. He doesn't try like most people do. Is like a lot of archaeologists, for example, in Egypt, go, my way is the right way, and
this is what this is.
But then another archaeologist says, no, but this is what this is, and another archaeologist says, no, but this. So there's conflicting, and then when we look at the different videos or documentaries, it's like people are presenting so many different ideas and answers.
And this is where we trap ourselves, because if we think we have an answer to something, we trap ourselves there.
Mm-hmm.
We say, no, I can't change my mind. I can't open my mind because
I've identified
with that answer.
Mm-hmm.
So what we want to do now, Luke is not a tour guide, but he looks for, he explores where there are questions of something. Always about something in the ancient world. So he'll put it up on enigmasoftheancient.world and say where he's going next. And people get in touch with him. I'll meet you there. I want to explore this too. So it isn't that you travel necessarily with him in a as a tour guide, but he'll say why he's going there, why he goes to Bolivia, why he goes to Peru, why he goes to Egypt, Cambodia, Indonesia, Greece, exploring all these different places, is to ask questions and open up the theories that shut everything down.
Yeah, and I think all the major inventions or discoveries on our planet have come by through questioning.
Yes.
And fortunately, then they lead to an answer, which many people get stuck in, like this is the only answer. So instead of being, you know, they've all been the trailblazers, blazers, the questioners, yeah, in a sense. So what we want to do is, instead of being stuck in the answers that we've heard somebody else tell us, let's become questioners ourselves.
Yeah. Now, I'm reminded that yesterday was the first anniversary of Stephen Hawking's passing.
Hmm.
And here was a remarkable man. The Brief History of Time, if anybody's read that, is a questioner. And, you know, it's like the quest going on. And so he's going into the black holes and the outer space, and whereas Luke is going way deep into the past before there was written language almost of why did they do this? So it's in admiration and questioning, opening up the old theories. Great. And so I pray homage to Stephen Hawking.
Yes. And so today, you could make it a day of questions.
Yeah.
So anything that you think you have...
Now, why is that siren?
Why is that siren going on there? What is the question? So you could
Who's
ask...
Who's doing what to whom?
Yeah. Well, what's happened? So you could ask yourself today, anytime I think I have an answer, let me see if I can formulate a question.
Yes.
To look at it differently.
Now, can I add something more to this? I'm going to turn over in my book, because this is something I've written down Okay, here's a big thing, and I think I don't know if we do a podcast separately on this. But I think the questioning is, we don't want to lock down our minds. So for those of us who are of an age beyond 10, maybe, we need to have the freedom to change our minds.
That is really important. And at the same time, because of our fight and flight, we feel safer when we have answers. So that would be like, okay, so if the lion runs here, I keep saying lions, you know, I'm from Africa. So you say, if the lion runs, I will jump up that tree. If the snake runs, I will stand still. In Africa, you don't do that in America. So it's like when you've got the answers in fight and flight and in a primitive culture, which is where our minds still are operating, really, we know that we're safe. But what we're suggesting here is take a jump from that and start to ask questions, and you will get amazing openings and new things happening for you in your life and your mind.
Yeah, just the question, why is that happening? Even now, here's the other thing the Dalai Lama likes to say is investigate. We need an inquiring mind. Mm-hmm. That's what you're talking about. Mm. We need an inquiring mind. So if something happens, rather than condemning it or applauding it, investigate why it happens.
Question.
Yeah.
And we can find new parts of ourselves. Initially, it may feel a little unsettling because, as I said, with our fight and flight brains, the way they're structured, we do want to put everything in place. It makes us feel safer. But just as you're looking something, you could just say, why do we have this in this way? There are some obvious things, you know, why do we have traffic lights? Because it directs the traffic more easily most of the time. Yeah. So, but we could ask ourselves, just question every single thing that I can think of questioning today and see what I come up with, including everybody. But do it in a gentle way and not a confrontational way if you can. Because if you confront, people will defend, and then it can become these arguments, and it's okay. But, it's easier if you do it in a non-confrontational way.
And part of what we could do by doing this in questioning is when you come across somebody who has a definitive answer for them and feels that they are right, allow that.
Mm.
You know, allow that and question and be aware. Okay, so this person needs the safety of knowing that. So I won't rock that boat, but it'll be interesting. I incorporate that in the next journey I have into questioning. Does this, how does this person react to this questioning, or how does that person react to it, and maybe why? But this is always investigating instead of, saying, well, that person's no good, or that person is this, or that person is that, because they don't understand. No, that's closing your mind again.
Absolutely. One of the things I loved when I did comparative religion, and I actually don't, I've never been a part of any religion, but is when I went into the Jewish synagogues, one or two of them, I can't remember how many, but is that they encouraged my questioning. Mm. When I asked their questions, they were really happy to discuss it. And I think in the Jewish religion, they do encourage questioning, and I don't know whether it's to a point, but they do encourage questions and dialogue and stuff in their culture, and some cultures don't. The English culture, not so much. This is the way it is, and I think in the religions, not so much. It's like you're not supposed to really question
That's what's called quote unquote faith.
Okay. In England, it's not as much either. Although my father was English, and his family were incredible questioners and debaters and so forth. But a lot of times in certain cultures, it's much more acceptable, and at certain times than other times. So, again, keep it gentle, keep it from your heart. And see if you can do a lot of questioning today of everybody and everything, even if it's just in your mind.
You know, as we're talking about this, I keep remembering in different places that I've been around the world, So let me explain. When I went to England, I was really amazed at what they call the queuing, the lining up.
Oh, yes.
Uh-huh. It's like standing in a queue, mm-hmm. and queue is spelled Q-U-E-U-E. So standing in a line. So if you go into the butcher's, you stand in a line, but it's an automatic line. If you're at the bus station, you stand in a line. No matter where you go, you stand in a line, which is very English.
Mm-hmm.
Yet there's a space for everybody in that. So I look at that and how that works within their cultures. Then I've been to other sort of cultures where...
Who can push the hardest
to get in? Like, if you ever tried to get on the subway in New York, you know, there's no queuing to get on the subway in New York or in other places in the world. And so that was another thing that used to really... I thought, I gotta think about this. So why, watching how the people adjust to this and how the people adjust to that. And I notice here in North America, it's always the line starts here, you know.
Yes.
They never have to say that in England.
Because everybody knows. You know, I was on an Egyptian airline flight coming out of Egypt, and I am not a very fast runner. I'm not athletic. So in those days, in the 70s, you had to, your luggage was taken out to the plane. You had to get on the bus, and then you had to run as fast as you could, identify your luggage, and run onto the plane to get a seat. And I'm not a fast runner, so what I did is I worked it out. I made sure I was the last person up, and I was, because it was squashed, the bus, last person standing at the door, you know, so yeah. The last person on. And as we got off, I remembered my dad saying, don't look behind you when you run.
I know exactly.
I just ran as fast as I could, and I pointed to my bag, and then I ran up the seats. People already passed me, but at least I got a seat, and I managed to get my... And so it's that was quite a different experience for me, because even in Australia, you queue up, yeah. You line up, not the same as in England, but it's a little scary for people who grew up with queue.
Yes.
To do
be
that
in the rush.
Mm-hmm. To be not sure, you know, like everybody's pushing to try to get there first, and you know, and it's all a wonderful experience. So when you get to different cultures that do different things, question it, but at the same time, don't judge it either.
Yeah, that's why I like the word investigate, because investigate doesn't have the tone of judgment in it.
Mm-hmm.
Questioning it, if you can question it without the judgment, you're investigating it.
That's great.
Look at this. Isn't this interesting? See, something is interesting. That's interesting. I wonder why that is.
And even as children, you know, the wonderful thing is that little children, we've both worked with children, they question everything. Like, Mom, why is that leaf green? Okay, why is the ant crawling up on that leaf? They have this natural ability to question, to find out about their world. And then as they start to get more and more answers, that questioning starts to disappear.
Well, also, it's really important that you mentioned that as an example, because a lot of parents feel it is their duty to teach them why. So we'll try to answer, why is the sky blue? Well, because it's blue. I don't know. This is what I think it should happen is, I don't know. Let's investigate that. Let's investigate. Let's figure out why. You're teaching your child how to do research, how to look into things. And if the child says, it's blue because it's my favorite color, well, that could be an answer. Let's see if there's another, you know?
Yeah, and the interesting thing with science is that they have this oops factor that I say always with science, which is, this is the way it is. Oops, nope, we thought that it's like thalidomide is the drug. It's going to help all pregnant women. Oops, we didn't realize it was going to deform the babies. So science tends to have these wonderful answers, and then every so often they have the oops factor. Oh, gosh, we were wrong. This is the way it is. So if children are able to question and adults question, then it opens our life to so many things.
Yeah, and to be able to change our minds.
And to see things in a different way.
In a different way, and sometimes in a healthier, greater way than being tied into a formula because that's what you've decided.
So today, again, let's do it. Let's have a day of questioning. And as you said, what did you say? The questioning and
investigating,
so that it's not like why are you doing this? Because that's
aggressive. Almost a judgment.
Yeah. So if you can, it's okay if you do that in nature. Like, why is the sea? Once I was looking, standing out there before. Why are some of the seagulls brown and some of them white?
Yeah.
Somebody told me before, the young ones are brown and the older ones are white. But it's like those things are fine to question. But as far as somebody's beliefs or opinions, it's good to investigate and ask a question
because you want to open your experience is what you're doing, opening your world, opening your experience. And if somebody has an opinion that's extremely different from what you might be thinking at the moment, that's okay. What you can do is say, you know, I'll go home and investigate. Why do you think that? That's why I love linguistics, because this is all part of, you know, why cultures do certain things and why they believe certain things and why they speak certain ways.
And even if you find that you don't agree with the way they believe or the way they live, if you've investigated, it will have opened you up anyway. You'll be a broader and more expanded person for having done that.
So I have a book. I'm going to mention this. If you can find this, it's a wonderful story about a man who I believe was, back in the 1920s, selling vacuum cleaners. And he started to ask questions. And the journey it takes him is remarkable, and he started a whole new way of thinking in the world. The book is called Language, Thought, and Reality. Written by Benjamin Whorf, Whorf, Language, Thought, and Reality. Check it out.
Well, you've been listening to Earth Tribe Radio,
www.earthtriberadio.com,
wherever we are, you can find us.
We're your home on planet Earth, okay?